time for Wednesday's hour number two on Hashtag Daily K with your host, Peter Bint. Korean dramas, movies, and even lyrics, Wazwa paid attention to Korean stories.
From classics to modern masterpieces, time to dig deep into the charms of Korean literature.
On Check It Out!
With Paul.
Check It Out with Paul Vingerbelt Matthews. Welcome to the studio.
Do you have to do a silly voice?
What is your middle name, Paul?
Richard.
I'm sure I've asked you this before.
Richard.
Paul Dickie Bird Matthews.
If you like.
How are you doing today? I'm sorry. Did you not like my silly voice?
No.
It wasn't a silly voice.
It's like you can't take yourself seriously, and this is a very serious corner.
I was being very... like in character, method acting, if you will.
Okay, what method acting were you doing there?
I was assuming the role of Richard of York.
And how did you prepare for that? Method acting?
I went to York.
When?
In my dreams. I don't think I've ever been to York, actually.
Have you never been
to
York?
It's a beautiful city, right?
It's a gorgeous city.
The cathedral and stuff, yeah.
I went as a kid and they had the Jorvik Viking Centre.
Oh!
And it was like waxworks and they'd recreated the old town with the smells and everything. And I remember as a kid going there and it really ponged, but it was brilliant.
Wow, that's amazing. Is that where it gets its name? Jorvik? York, maybe?
That's a question for someone else.
Okie dokie. I will ask someone else then, Paul.
I'm only here for the Korean literature bit. Korean literature.
Have you had a good week? Have you been up to anything interesting?
I've had a very good week. I finished a whole load of scripts. I finished my 96 scripts.
Oh, that's done and dusted.
From the client is done. Now I just have to film them all.
Oh, okay.
So I'm feeling a little freer.
Yes.
And more importantly, the new episode of Doctor Who came out.
Oh, is there a new Doctor?
It's an old Doctor has come back as the new Doctor.
Really?
For three special episodes.
Oh, what? Just for three?
For the 60th anniversary, David Tennant is back as Doctor Who.
Many people loved him as Doctor Who.
I still do. And on Sunday night, I watched it and it was like I was a little kid again.
Was it amazing?
It was amazing. I know people are going to pick out little flaws in it and so on. But I sat there for an hour and I had my mouth open. I was gasping and giggling and I just had the best time.
I would have stuck my finger in it if you were next to me. I would have done that.
That's why I watched it alone.
Today's hashtag, olhae. And we're talking about olhae do olma an namane as the phrase. You know, there's not much time left in the year. What does either of those things bring
olhae,
to mind?
Olhae, all the suns.
All the suns out there.
That's a curious one. I think for me personally, it's been a good year.
Yeah.
It's been a year of self-discovery. It's been a year of doing interesting work. It's been a year getting paid a lot of money.
Lovely.
But for the world, I don't think it's been a great year.
No.
We've had some tragedies. We've had some bad times. Korea's been through, well, some rough moments.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's been a bumpy year.
I think it's always bumpy. Like since... I don't know when it was, but definitely since COVID. Doesn't
yeah.
it seem like we've got a smooth sailing year?
I don't think we've had one since we were teenagers.
Really?
I feel like the 90s. But maybe that was because we didn't have the internet, so we didn't know exactly what was going on all the time.
Mm.
And now we do. We just know that there's all this terribleness in all sorts of places. But there's also lots of good. So it's a mixed bag.
Sometimes make me think that it's better not to know lots of things.
They say wisdom is sorrow, but at the same time, I think it's important as a citizen of the world to know what's going on and to not close your eyes to tragedy or disaster or in some case, you know, criminal activity. It's important to know what's going on so you won't be fooled.
No.
So someone can't pull the wool over your eyes.
That's true. All right, you do all of that and I'll just be oblivious and ignorant over
You're not ignorant. You cover the news every day
on
Hashtag Daily K.
I definitely am not ignorant. I'm very intelligent, but I would like to maybe be a bit more ignorant is what I'm saying.
Well, when it comes to books, you are.
Thank you very much, Paul. Today, I'm going to turn the tables because Yoshin Gwaes Hanchek, one of my favourites.
Oh, you've read it?
No.
Of course you haven't. It's called Walk with a Goddess by Lee Ji-min. It's translated by Paige Anya Morris.
It's a series of
chat books. We talked about a series of chapbooks before. This is another series by the same publisher, a series of eight short stories beautifully published. And this series is called Iyagi, New Voices Korea. Sorry, did you want to say something?
you don't have to have read a book for it to be your favorite. That's a very, very backwards way, old-fashioned way of thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, that you don't have to have read a book to think it's your favorite. That's very backwards.
Absolutely. Very 1900s.
Yeah, I'm excited about today's book. We get to feature an author we featured before, Yi Jimin, but we get to feature a new translator as well. And I think it's a brilliant story.
Okay, what's it about?
Well, I'm going to get into details, but what we have here is a story of a woman who seems to have some sort of strange power or curse or some strange connection to death. And she tells her life story, these incidents, to a young man who knows her. Mm. And we learn of her life and we learn of the people connected to her. And it's all very odd and very compelling.
Oh, looking forward to this. Yi Jimin, we featured before, you said.
We have featured. We featured The Starlet and the Spy, also known as Marilyn Mee before. Mm. She's a brilliant writer. She's been going since 2000 when she won the Moon Hak Dong Nae New Writer Award. She's written a number of novels. I think one of the most famous in Korea would be Modern Boy. Mm. But she's also a screenwriter.
Oh, nice.
So she's written scripts for The Man Standing Next, The Drug King, Ilang, The Wolf Brigade, and The Age of Shadows.
Amazing.
And so we get to feature her again. Last time we featured her was a couple of years ago, but it's great to have another story from her.
Fabulous. Translator Paige Anya Morris. Never heard of this person.
Our first time featuring her. Very exciting to be able to do so. She's from Jersey City, New Jersey. She studied at Brown University, Ethnic Studies and Literary Arts, and then went on to do an MFA in creative writing at Rutgers. And she's also won awards for her translations and her own writings, as well as plenty of grants. Most recently, she won the Shimhun Literary Translation Award for her translation of The World You Want to See by Chang Kang-myung.
Wow.
Even though we haven't featured her, she's got quite a few translations out.
Nice.
Not just adult fiction, but she's also got three books aimed at younger readers translated and out. She's got two new translations coming in 2024 so far. One is called Romancing on Jeju by Park Hyun-joo, and the other is We Do Not Part by Han Kang, which is co-translated with Emily Ye-won. So it's really exciting to get to feature her for the first time.
Interesting. Okay, so where do we need to begin? Do we need to do any scene setting? Like you said, this is a chapbook, so something very, very short. I will be honest, this is my ignorance. I didn't really know what a chapbook is.
We talked about it last time.
I know. I think I thought you said chat book.
No, chapbook. C-H-A-P-B-O-O-K. Now, these are books that are short and are usually made on the cheap. These books are not. They don't look cheap, and they certainly weren't made on the cheap. They're beautiful. But they're the kind of very thin books that might have staples in the middle. It's not a bound book. So this publisher has decided to do these series of short stories. Instead of publishing them in one anthology, they've published them in these beautiful, beautifully designed chapbooks.
Lovely stuff. So do we just need to pick it up from the beginning?
Yeah, we're going to start at the very, very beginning, and we'll go from there. President Kennedy died before I was born. His death is nothing but black and white documentary footage to me. But I was alive when Kim Il-sung died, and I remember exactly what I was doing when it happened. Napping on a faux leather sofa, sticky with sweat. I woke to the smell of men's aftershave gracing my nose and breaking news reports of Kim Il-sung's death on TV. His beaming face filled the muted screen. Seeing the word dead beneath him in that news headline font evoked a strange feeling in me. I remember the anti-communist posters we used to draw every June when I was a kid. The very man we were singing about when we chanted Down with Kim Il-sung was down, indeed dead at last. My father had been getting ready to go out, but his eyes were now glued to the screen. "Will there be a war?" I asked him. "War my foot," he scoffed. With that, I went back to sleep. No one went to war, and Kim Il-sung's death had no further impact on my life. At least, not on the surface. Yet even if another person's death had affected me, it would have been hard to determine the shape of that impact. Someone else's death was someone else's problem. It didn't matter whether it was Kim Il-sung or whoever. Their death was theirs alone. As out of my hands as the fast-melting glaciers of the polar regions. But soon enough, my belief that death had nothing to do with me started to fracture. For a long time, I've refused to see otherwise. Only after I came to embrace as my life's task the series of events I've termed strange and sorrowful coincidences, did I begin to question my connection to certain deaths in the world. I worry all this repeated emphasis on death may seem a bit overblown, so perhaps I should define my terms. Here, when I refer to death, I mean the deaths of the mothers or fathers of men I have loved or who have loved me. I've long shied away from telling this story, but one day, out of the blue, a man came looking for me and left me no choice but to dredge it up again. Had he been a woman, I probably wouldn't have given him the time of day. Then again, had he been a woman, he probably wouldn't have sought me out in the first place.
Sherry says, Peter, make sure you give Paul his Christmas card from that box. Did I?
Nah, not yet.
No?
Not got a Christmas card from anybody. Not got a single piece of chocolate orange. I heard a little bit told me there was chocolate orange available. That some kind soul had sent the, you know, one of my favourite chocolates. And
that's
then I
true.
Said to Peter, and he left, he said no.
That's because that kind soul instructed me to open it up so everyone could take a piece. And
I think that kind soul thought you might save a piece for Paul, maybe wrap it up in some port foil, give it to him with his Christmas card.
I don't know how you got by in life, but nepotism is not for me, Paul, okay?
And where's my Christmas card?
Treat everyone
fairly.
Where's
my Christmas card?
You'll get it when I see fit. Tigerish says, death impacts us all somehow. It's strange how it affects, how its effects differ from person to person. Absolutely, and I think person to person, and then the same person can react to different deaths very differently depending on their stage of life and everything.
Absolutely. Yes, and Aim Leiter is saying, last weekend I bought a Korean book. The title is Clover by Na Hae Rim. I haven't read it yet, but it's an interesting story description. Oh, I've not heard of this either. I will have to check. Is that an English translation?
Let us know, Aim Leiter. I know her Korean is good, so it might be in Korean.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not heard of it, so I think it might not be an English translation.
Okie dokie. So, interesting, kind of unnerving opening there, and we get to hear specifically what's going on. The deaths of mothers and fathers of men that she's loved or who have loved her.
And yes.
They might just be strange and sorrowful coincidences?
Yeah, and the strange thing is they all happen when they are in the presence of her.
Oh.
So these men,
yeah,
they're with her doing something or going somewhere, and
yeah,
during that time, they lose one of their parents. And
oh,
they're unable
goodness.
To be with their parent at that very last moment because they were with her.
That's a real weird coincidence then, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just happened once. So this is a very strange start to the story.
Uh-huh.
And we have a very strange meeting because there's a guy. He's her ex-fiancé's friend.
Okay.
Who calls her up and is pleading with her for her help and says, look, I want to meet you. Please, can you just meet?
What?
And they do. And he says, look, I've heard that every man you encounter meets the same fate.
Oh.
I really want to hear your story. Can you tell me?
Wow.
And so she's like, okay, I'll tell you. And so they're sitting in this cafe and she talks about her college boyfriend whose name was Nada because he spent time in Canada. So she cheekily took off the car and called him Nada instead. And he was a happy sort of guy. But when they were together, his father was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, no.
And his demeanor changed. There was sort of a shadow that passed over him.
Oh.
Still optimistic, but not the same. And then one day they go to see a play together, a play by Tom Stoppard called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Okay, that's a real play.
It's a real play. Okay. It's a very funny play.
Oh.
It's basically set during Hamlet.
Oh.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are two characters who have to deliver a message to Hamlet.
Uh-huh.
And so the play takes place while Hamlet is happening.
Oh, wow.
And it's sort of all to do with Shakespeare, but also life and death and
so
on. Anyway, they go to see it, and it's like, yeah, having a fun time. But it's while they're watching it that his father passes away.
Oh.
And she's really scared by this, and she basically, she doesn't go to the funeral, she stops seeing him.
Oh, weird, okay.
And then a couple of months pass, and he visits her,
mm-hmm,
and he's looking older, like 3 or 4 years older than he was. He's been through a hard time. And he confesses to her, look, when I saw the play, I think I saw my father's ghost.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he sort of talks about it, and he doesn't blame her for anything, but it feels like it's all wrapped up, and so he wants to be with her, and he proposes to her.
Oh.
And she can't she can't take this. She's like, this is all connected with tragedy and death. And I'm like, no. And so she ends it with him.
Okay.
And then she talks about another boyfriend and his name, not his real name, his son.
Uh-huh.
And his mother passes away while they're spending a night together in a hotel.
Oh.
They're having a romantic weekend away.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the call afterwards when he charges his phone and, you know, is deeply upset. And she sticks with him this time and goes to the funeral and tries to look after him. But he just starts to drink more and he becomes violent towards her. And she has to leave him.
Bad ending.
Yeah. And then as she's talking about this other memory strikes her, this much older memory from when she was in elementary school. When she and the class president were charged with decorating the class bulletin board.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm a good artist. I know what I'm doing. We need some glass beads. We need to go to the art store down the road, get some glass beads to make this perfect.
All
and
good.
She drags him along. And this is where our second excerpt happens.
That sounds a bit ominous. Let's pick it up there.
For some reason, decorating that bulletin board with our childish little ornaments became a matter of real pride for me, as an artist. It still needed a little extra something, so I insisted we buy some of the glass-like beads they sold at the art supply store. He sighed, but trailed after me, resigned. We went to the art supply store by the school, but we couldn't find the shiny beads I wanted, so I dragged him to every art supply store in our neighborhood. Even when I knew I should have just given up, I clung stubbornly to my pride, my desperate need to look good in front of him. We walked like hell to reach the market in the next neighborhood over and ended up lost. It was my first time in that area and the streets were like a maze. The class president was glowering, and I wanted to say screw the flowers and just plop right down on the ground. As we circled around and around the unfamiliar back streets, pain ripped through our legs. Like we'd suddenly shot up 5 centimeters, and maybe that day on that street, our heights and souls really did stretch upwards a little without sound. By the time we got back to school, it was well after dark. As soon as we opened the classroom door, our homeroom teacher came running at us, weeping. She snatched the class president's Boy Scout uniform cap off his head and swept him into a hug. For the next several days, the class president didn't come to school. I saw a report on the 9 o'clock news saying his father had passed away in a car accident the afternoon we'd been roaming around lost. The week after, when he returned to class, all the other kids were awkward with him. No one could look him in the eye. It was the first time any of us had seen a kid who'd lost a parent. I wanted to say something grown up and wise to comfort him, but I couldn't pluck up the courage. Instead, I merely lingered, hovering awkwardly in his periphery. During one of our break times, I found him staring at the bulletin board I had finished decorating without him. I ended up finding some sequins to use on the flowers. The whole thing came out extremely glittery, like something a nightclub singer would wear on stage. The class president contemplated the board for a while, then turned to me and said, "It's rubbish. There's nothing beautiful about it." His eyes flashed with rage, not towards me, but the little paper flowers. He glared at them as if hardening himself against ever seeing the beauty in spring blossoms again.
Oh dear, with small children's parents as well, this sends a shiver down my spine. Seems like a curse and affecting all of the men in her life, including her ex-fiancé?
Yeah. And this is where we get to. It seems like, look, wherever she turns, whatever man or boy she likes or who likes her, this death follows them.
Oh, dear.
And so she tells what really happened with her ex-fiancé. His name is Yoon.
Uh-huh.
And when they got together, she told him, look, this is going to happen to you. And he's not put off. He doesn't believe in this superstitious nonsense.
Just coincidence.
Yeah. And we're going to get married. And 2 months before the wedding, he goes down to Busan on a business trip. And she's like, maybe I'll go down and surprise him.
Ooh.
And travels down and they have an amazing time. And they get to leave. They go to Busan station. And that's when he gets a call from his sister telling him his father is on his deathbed in hospital. He ate pufferfish, and there's been some reaction. And then he's just sitting on the train listening to his sister, well, basically recount what's happening as his father dies in front of her.
Oh, no.
And their relationship is ruined, you know. And so she talks about their separation. And then she confesses to this guy who she doesn't really know. You know, it's a friend of an ex-fiance, that there's something that happened really recently. She's a teacher at a university, and she runs a film club. And one of the students, well, they had an argument. And after they had the argument, he almost dies.
Oh.
Yeah. And then we finally learn why this guy has asked for her help, why he wants to meet her. Her name is actually Yoshin.
Oh, the character's name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he thought it was a joke when he first heard. Yeah. But it really is. And Yoshin means goddess.
Okay. That's her actual name.
Yeah. And he heard these stories about her at the bar, you know, the goddess of misfortune. And he's decided to seek her out because he has a purpose. Mm-hmm. His father is in critical condition in hospital on his deathbed. And he's hoping his dad is going to die while he's with her today.
Oh, he wants that to happen.
He wants it to happen. Because his dad abandoned him and his mother when he was five. Had another family, had two daughters, never got in touch, and only recently contacted him knowing, you know, it was getting to the end of his life. He was wanting to make amends. And he almost visited, but then he was like, no, I can't do it. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. You know, my father's selfish. I don't want to give him that moment. So that's why I wanted to be with you today now.
Oh, dear. That's a bit sinister.
Yeah. And Yoshin, the woman, she's not really sure if she's okay with this. This is strange.
Yeah.
And she asks him, are you sure you won't regret this?
Yeah.
And then he says, no, I won't regret it. And as we get to the end of the story, she thinks back to what has happened to all these other men and also to herself. I thought about all those men, one by one. On the days their entire worlds had fallen apart, they had been right beside me. I had turned away from their losses and their pain, then held on to each of them even harder afterwards. I didn't deny that all these coincidences had me in common. But looking back, maybe it really was just coincidence that I was there with them at that painful moment a part of their lives had been torn away. My only regret was I never truly understood how they had felt. But how could anybody? I shared with Song the thoughts I had never shared with anyone. I just happened to have experienced a few more deaths than other people, through other people. Who knows why? Maybe someone out there has meant these are chances for me to think about the people I love, or more opportunities to think seriously about death. That's if you want to find meaning somewhere in all this mess. Either way, there's a chance this ability you want to make use of might not even exist. Well, he said, we can't know for sure, but even if it doesn't, I'd still like somebody to be here with me now. Should we go for a walk? We stood and took a couple of steps. Sand crunching under our feet. The wind shook the boughs of the trees. The sound was like someone leafing through all the pages in a book. I asked him again for the last time, are you sure you want to pass this up? The last chance you'll ever have to see your father? It's fine, he said. I'll never get to see the most important things anyway. I think I'll cherish this much more, the chance to spend the day out here in the sun. Birds fluttered up from the forest, as if startled by something in the trees. Song and I took a few steps toward the ancient palace. The wind flew past us along with the birds, scattering a strange scent over our heads, like someone had slid open a drawer that had been shut for 100 years. We continued. The time ahead of us seemed endless.
Father die? Do we find that out? Is she a goddess, like her name suggests, a goddess of death?
This is for you, for me, for everyone to decide. She certainly seems to be ill-fated.
That's the end of the book?
Yeah.
Oh.
But then, I mean, if we look at it, life is a series of accidents and incidents that we somehow try to link together in our minds to give some kind of meaning to basically our pointless few decades of existence on Earth.
Well, thank you for the uplifting message on a Wednesday morning, Paul.
Well, you know, it's hump day. I like to make you feel happy. But it's really good. I love the way it sort of taps into that innate, it's grief, it's guilt, it's self-recrimination that happens to us. And not everybody may have experienced this, but if you've had a loved one leave you, a loved one pass away, and you've not been able to say goodbye properly, all these emotions are all wrapped up together.
Yeah.
And I think it captures it really well. I mean, look, we're all going to die.
Yes.
It's death and taxes are the two things we're certain about. If we're lucky, you and I and everyone else is going to get to die without pain, in comfort, surrounded by our loved ones, by familiar loving faces.
That'd be good.
Problem is, most of us don't get that.
Yeah.
And the truth is that we each have one story, one journey, and the end of that is unknowable.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter how much you try to prepare for your own or for someone else's, you can never be truly ready for whenever that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know, like, you know, going through death of close people made me think, like, I think the less you can do that in life, like, the better your life has been lived, as a kind of selfish, self-preservation side of me. Like,
yeah, but at the same time, you've got to... either you're going to get it throughout your life or it's all going to come at you at your final years, and suddenly something that you've not been able to prepare for is going to overwhelm you.
Yeah, that's true. But I was thinking, you know, when my father passed away, I was like, oh, this is awful. And I was like, oh, that's why it only happens like maybe twice or three times in your life. Like, if you think about your parents and maybe your spouse passing away before you.
Yeah.
I thought, if this happened repeatedly throughout life, like for this lady, not directly, but through, you know, her boyfriends and fiancés, it would really be a downer, to put it in a very simple way.
But this is what life is. Life is beginnings and endings. And one thing it made me think about, a positive thing, because I want to, you know, sort of end on a positive note.
Please.
Is that here in Korea is very different to the UK and very different to some other countries in the way that we mark a death.
Mm-hmm.
When someone passes away, the first thing that's done is a little altar is set up in a room. There's each big hospital have these. They're not funeral rooms, but they're rooms used before the funeral.
Yeah.
And so what that will be, there will be a room for the altar where you can greet visitors and they can pay their respects.
Yep.
And that could be bowing, or it could be placing a flower and saying a prayer and then comforting the family.
That's pretty quiet, maybe some tears, sad space.
Yeah. And then there's an adjoining room, which is basically like a restaurant.
Yeah.
So there will be people working there who will feed whoever comes, and there will be soup, and there will be rice, and there will be rice cakes, and there will be a couple of side dishes, maybe some fruit, maybe some nuts.
Sure.
There'll be alcohol, there'll be soft drinks. And the idea is for 3 days, it's usually 3 days, it all depends on what time you die in terms of how long it will last. Anybody who knew you, knows the family, can come.
Drop by.
Anytime, day or night.
Yeah.
And literally, some people will come first thing in the morning. Some people come around a mealtime. Some people come in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
But the point is, the family will be there waiting and grieving. And people will come and be able to say goodbye in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that is different to going to a funeral where everyone's saying goodbye at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the most important things about the process of death in Korea is that it becomes, excuse me, I've got a dry throat, not getting emotional.
Yeah, that period is interesting. Like you say, it's kind of an individual goodbye for everyone.
It is, and that's why I really like it. I think it's very difficult. And I've been there as a mourner when my wife's father passed away. I've experienced not the full 3 days, but certainly doing my duty. And when I had a very good friend who passed away, we did that as well. It's really tough, but what it is a way to give everybody more of a sense of closure. Mm. Because after you've had that moment in front of the photo on the altar, yeah. which is heartbreaking, okay. you're suddenly plonked down with a glass of soju or a glass of beer and some soup and some people you know, and you start to talk. Yeah. And you talk about the person who's passed. Mm-hmm. And you talk about their life. And you start to cry and you start to laugh and you start to reminisce about the good times and the bad times. And that 3 days becomes this continual celebration of that person's story, of yeah. that person's life and their relationships and friendships and family.
Yeah, it is very different. I certainly see that as the plus side as well, the positive to it. I don't know, the downside that I saw with my mother-in-law's funeral last week is you're there 3 days, like the close family.
Yeah.
You're not really sleeping. You're exhausted emotionally. Someone's just literally died because it happens straight after their death, yeah. right? And so you're processing that all while having to take all these guests and, you know, be nice and welcoming to them and sit them down. I think it's a real strain on the close family. Like for the yes. people who are mourning, I think it's great.
Absolutely.
For them.
But, yeah. but the blessing that it gives you.
Yeah.
is you don't have time to spiral into somewhere mm. that would be difficult to get out of.
That's true.
Because you've got to deal with all this. You're processing your emotions, but you're doing it in a way where you will not be alone. You will yeah. not be isolated, That's whether true. You want to be or not. Mm. And I know it's tough, but actually I think sometimes we need this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a marathon, but when you get to the end of it, you're going to be in a better place than yeah. you were when you began it.
Yeah, it's that kind of express grieving timeline. A one-line review, please, Paul.
A strange and powerful tale of the way death snatches the people we love from us and the responsibility we can feel for things beyond our control.
Yeah, really interesting one today. Thanks for that. Next week, switching things up completely.
Yeah, we've got some poetry, free online poetry if you want to read beforehand. It's called Shijo Rhythms. That's S-H-I-J-O. It's by E.E. and various other Shijo poets from the past. It's translated by Kevin O'Rourke. It's an e-book. You can get it for free, so search for Shijo Rhythms. And we'll be doing some traditional poetry next week.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your readings today, Paul.
Thanks, as always, to the Literature Translation Institute of Korea for help with copyright permissions for our broadcasts. Thank you to E.G. Min for her fantastic story, and to Paige Anya Morris for her great translation. Hug your loved ones tight, and I'll be back next week with another book.
Thank you very much. You can listen to Check It Out with Paul Matthews on Arirang Radio's hashtag Daily K every Wednesday from 10 a.m. KST.